Good morning, and thanks for being with us again today. Today we begin the final week of Daring Faith campaign series. I hope that you have enjoyed this series as much as I have enjoyed teaching. And I want to thank Pastor Rick Warren, who wrote the study guide and provided all the notes that we needed to give you the Sunday teaching that coincided with everything that was in there. So we thank him so much for all the hard work and the fact that he shared all of that with churches like ours, and that's great. Today is day number 36 in the Daring Faith devotionals, and I trust that you've stayed on track with us, and so they're going to end at day 40 later this week. And I want to encourage you, if this has been a new habit for you, if spending time reading the Word and talking to God is something that you've been developing over these 40 days, don't let the last sheet in the book end that practice for you. Continue to build that spiritual discipline. You can download an app called YouVersion on any of your devices, and there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of devotionals there that you can follow for a few days, a few weeks. And we encourage you to do that and spend time with God, or go to our website, highwaygospel.ca, download in the resources tab any of the different reading plans we have there, or just say, you know, I'm going to read through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm going to read through them in a month or 2 months. I think it takes about 3 chapters a day to read through all 4 of the Gospels in a month, 3-4 chapters a day. You can count them and divide it and figure it out. You'll be good at that. So just pick a plan, pick a way, do it, and that'll be good for you. So continue on the spiritual habits that you've been developing so far in this campaign series. Every week we've had a memory verse. Do you remember last week's memory verse? Yeah, I hope you got that right. It's, with God's power working in us, God can do much, much more than anything we can ask or imagine. Ephesians 3:20. And so I trust that you got that. And let me share with you this week's memory verse, and it should be easy to remember. It's found in Matthew 19:26. It says this, with God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. I want to ask you this. How do you hold on to faith when it feels like you've been waiting way too long? How do you keep on believing when you feel like giving up? I think we've all been in those places where we're believing God for something and we're believing with faith and we're praying into it and holding on to it, but it seems like it's been forever and it feels like we can't hold on anymore. Feels like we don't know what to do, and we sometimes just want to give up. It feels like we're in a hurry, and God isn't. It's like, God, where are you, and where are you doing this? What do we do when all we feel is silence? What do we do when it feels like God's not there? Well, today I want to take us to the example of a man in the Bible named Abraham. He's probably well known in the Bible. Abraham received a promise from God, and it took a long, long, long time for that promise to come. And when that promise came, God kept the word that he'd given Abraham, and every promise he made about that promise came true. If you don't know the story, in a nutshell, Abraham was a 75-year-old man with no children, and God told him he would be the father of a great nation, which meant he was going to have at least one child. And it took 25 more years for that promise. But let's look at that story together. And as we look at the story today, I want to unfold for you 6 phases of faith, that 6 things that happen in us as we hold on to faith and dare for faith and dare to believe, 6 things that kind of happen to us in this journey of faith. And so it's page 122 in your study guide if you want to turn there and begin to fill in the blanks. And let's start with phase 1. Phase 1 is the dream. It's getting that dream. It's when God gives you an idea or a picture or a goal. God gives you a dream of what can be or what will be or what God wants to do in you or through you and accomplish with you. And we read Abraham's story in Genesis 12, verses 1 and 2. It says this, The Lord said to Abram, now let me stop there. Before Abraham was Abraham, he was Abram. Later, God would change his name to Abraham. He would change his wife's name from Sarai to Sarah. And so you might know them by their more famous names, Abraham and Sarah, but these are the same people. So let's read it again, Genesis 12, 1 and 2. It says, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. So God gave Abram a dream. And Abram, or Abraham, is 75 years old when God gives him that dream. And that takes us into our second phase, which is decision. See, this is sometimes where I think we get it wrong. We think, well, we've received a dream, and now we just sit back and wait. But a decision has to be made on our part. Are we going to go after that dream? See, many times I think as Christians or as followers of Christ, we feel, well, if God gives us a dream, we can just sit back and God will let the dream unfold. But that's not usually the case. More often than not, if not always, God gives us the dream, but then we have to make a decision to go after that dream. Remember last week we said, let go and leap forward? There's work that you and I need to do in order to fulfill the dreams that God has placed in us and the hopes that he has given us. We can't just sit back and wait. We see this in Abraham's story in Genesis 12:4. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. So what happened here is God told Abram to pack up and move to the land that he was going to show him. It was going to be the land of his promised inheritance, what we would have called the promised land later on. And so we see that a dream without a decision is useless. Abram had to pack it all up. He had to move forward. He had to step out. He made a decision to go after the dream, which leads us to phase three, the delay. See, a dream is hardly ever fulfilled instantly. There's usually always a time gap between when God gives you a dream and by the time that dream comes to fruition. While you have to spend time, you've made a decision, you work on the dream, and while we work on the dreams that God gives us, you'll find that in this time of delay, God is often working on our hearts, on our lives, on our characters, and God is shaping us to be able to get to the place where we can fully take hold of the dream. In Genesis 16:1, we're told, now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. So by the time we get to this verse, we're about 11 years from Genesis 12. It's been 11 years. They've traveled. They've gone to a different place. They've left everything they knew behind. And 11 years later, they're still in the same place. There's a promise and there's no child. This has been a delay. So Abram is about 86 years old and nothing has happened. Abram is just waiting on God. And the delay sometimes is hard, and the delay is so tied to the next phase. It's the difficulty phase. Delay and difficulty, that we kind of see them as one going together. See, not only does God make us wait, not only will we face a delay, but often in the delay we will be facing difficulties. Notice this, Abraham is only getting older. There's no promise, there's no kids, there's no nation, there's no inherited land, there's nothing, just waiting. All this waiting and nothing to show for it. And then we get to Genesis chapter 17. In chapter 17, God reaffirms the promise he made way back in Genesis 12. And He even makes a promise, And he puts a time frame on it this time. God says, by this time next year, you will have a son. And Genesis 17:17 says, Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Isn't that quite amazing? It's been 24 years from the time of the original promise. And then we pick up the story, and we're told more in Genesis 21, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So after years and years of delay and difficulty, Abraham finally received the son of promise. It's been a 25-year wait. And I know as you're listening to me, you're thinking, I don't want to wait 25 years for my promises. I don't want to wait 25 years for my dreams. I get you, and I'm with you. And I echo those same words. But here's where the story takes a twist. And Abraham's story tells us that sometimes, even in the midst of receiving a dream and having it come forward and having it come to pass, that sometimes God brings us to a dead end. That's our fifth phase, a dead end. Just when Abraham thinks everything is good. It's been years now. He has a son. His son is growing. He's maturing. He's getting bigger and stronger. And everything is going great. And Abraham is happy. And he has the promise. And everything is good. And suddenly God makes a very strange request. And God says this in Genesis 22:2. Then God said, take your son, your only son whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. The boy has finally come, and now God makes this strange request. God says, I want you to sacrifice your son. Now, most scholars believe, by the way, that Isaac wasn't just a little boy or a toddler. There's a good chance he's preteen or even a teenager. So this is quite a sacrifice on everybody's part. But this picture here shows us that God sometimes seemingly allows your dream to die. And sometimes you find yourself at the dead end phase. How do you know if you're at a dead end phase? Well, it starts by you feeling hopeless. I'm sure Abraham for a little while felt hopeless. How could he do this after waiting so long? Maybe you feel hopeless. Maybe you feel hopeless that your marriage isn't everything you dreamed it would be. So instead of saying, well, it's a dead end and there's nothing for me to do, why don't you say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength? Why don't you say, we can make this better? Why don't you work at it? Or your finances have taken a hit. Maybe over the last year and a half, as things have been difficult in our society, and maybe you've had less work or out of work, and your finances have crept up on you, and you're in a place right now where you're not sure, or maybe your career's not going where you want it to go. Maybe you thought by now you'd advance, but it doesn't seem you are. In fact, you feel like you're moving backwards and it's not what you want. You need to just know that you're not alone. That sometimes God brings us to a dead end phase because God wants to launch us into the next area. See, when you are in this phase, God is getting ready to do much more than you can ask or imagine, as was our memory verse this last week. And that leads us into the sixth phase, deliverance. Abraham is getting ready here to sacrifice his one and only son, his son of promise. I want you to picture it if you could. They've traveled away. They're up on the mountaintop. Abraham has built an altar. He's put the wood. He's getting ready to light it. And he lays his son out on the altar. And the Bible says he lifts his knife. He's ready. He's ready. Now, before everything is hopeless, hang on a second. Because the book of Hebrews tells us that Abraham believed that even if he had to kill and sacrifice Isaac, Abraham believed that that day God was going to raise him from the dead, so he was not going to lose his son of promise. That was the faith that Abraham had. See, Abraham had gone through such a long delay and such difficulty that when God told him what to do, Abraham knew to trust God, and that's what he did. And then in Genesis 22, verses 11 on, we read this part of the story. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place, "The Lord will provide." And to this day it is said, "On the mountain of the Lord, it will be provided." See, in the place of deliverance, God is getting ready to allow the miracle to come forth. We see these phases at work, not just in Abraham's life, but there's other people and lives in the story of the Bible that show us this. For example, Joseph, who as a young boy receives a dream that he would be mighty one day in the world, but he went through such delays and difficulties. He got thrown into a pit, sold to slavery by his brothers, unjustly accused and in prison, until finally God releases that dream of deliverance and he becomes the second most powerful person in the nation of Egypt. Wow, Joseph and Moses. We looked at Moses last week. Born a Hebrew, hidden, grew up in the place of Pharaoh, in the Pharaoh's court, Pharaoh's home, but he killed a soldier one day and fled for his life, and for 40 years he was in the backside of the desert. He was in delay and difficulty till God called him in that burning bush experience to go and bring the Israelites out of slavery to the promised land. And King David, who was anointed at such a young age but went through delays and difficulties till he could be the king of Israel one day. See, what do you do when you are waiting for your faith to be rewarded? What do you do when you're waiting for the promise to come forth? What do you do? How do you hold on when it feels like the delay and the difficulty are going to overwhelm you? Well, I want to give you four steps here that will help us as we wait for the promise to know that we can overcome. And the first is this: remember what God can do. This is in your study guide. It says, the situation might be out of your control, but it's not out of God's control. Isn't that wonderful? We may not know, but God knows. We may not be able to do anything and control it, but God can control it. And we're going to look at the book of Romans chapter 4 for a little bit here. In chapter 4, verse 17 says this: "As it is written in the scriptures, I am making you a father of many nations. This is true before God, the God Abraham believed, the God who gives life to the dead and who creates something out of nothing." The God who creates something out of nothing. The God who makes miracles. Remember what God can do. What did Abraham do? Abraham believed God. Luke 18, 27, Jesus replied, "What is impossible with man is possible with God." Remember what God can do. And secondly, rely on God's promises. Take God at His word. When you read the Bible, believe it to be God's word true to you. When God speaks something into your spirit that you know is from God, believe it. Hold on to it. Write it down if you need to. Put a date to it so that sometimes you can go back and look at it. But believe God. Rely on God's promises. Romans 4:18 says this, when hope was dead within him, Abraham went on hoping in faith, believing that he would become the father of many nations. He relied on the word of God. Abraham never gave up on the promise. See, what did this verse say? It says, when hope was dead inside of him. Oh, there were probably many days in those years of delay, 25 years of delay and difficulty. There were many times when I'm sure that he wanted to give up, that he had given up. But he didn't stay in the place of giving up. No, he went back to the place of hope. Even when he wavered, he never quit. See, when says when hope was dead, he went on hoping. You know when hope is dead inside of you? It's when you start using the word never. God never said that. God never told me that. God never promised me that. God never hears me. God never answers. When we get to that place of never, we know we are heading to the place where hope is dying, and we need to do what Abraham did. We need to turn that around. So what do you do when hope is dying? You do what Abraham did. You hope in faith. You don't let discouragement take you down. Instead, you turn your mind around and you say, I will trust in God's promises. I will rely on God's word. Believe what God says and believe that He keeps His promises despite how things might appear to you. And the third thing you do is you recognize the facts in faith. This is important. You don't deny the facts, but you face them in faith. Denying the facts, say, that doesn't exist, but facing the facts, say, yeah, here's the facts, but in faith I believe. Look what Romans 4:19 tells us. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Is that amazing? God's word translation says this, through faith he regarded the facts. See, Abraham recognized the facts. The fact is, I'm 100 years old, my wife is 90 years old. The fact is, we are way past childbearing years. The fact is, that this is practically impossible in man's eyes. He doesn't deny the fact, he faces them. See, faith does not ignore reality. I want to say that again. Faith does not ignore reality. Let me be honest with you. If you have a terrible diagnosis from the doctor, you have a terrible diagnosis. You can't leave the doctor's office and say, that's a fable, he made that up, she made that up. No, you face the fact. If you have a child who's in a lot of trouble right now, you have a child who's in a lot of trouble right now. You can't change that fact. If you're getting older, like Abraham was getting older, we can't change the facts. We are all getting older. If you're between jobs right now, then you're between jobs right now. We have to face the facts, but faith does not ignore reality. Faith is not denial of the facts. That's not what faith is. Faith is facing a hopeless situation and saying, I will not allow myself to lose hope in God. There's the key. That is deep faith. That is daring faith. Facing the facts with faith. And that leads us to the last step we do, is we rejoice in anticipation. You joyfully expect God to act, and you trust God to keep His word. Even if the answer is not the way you expected it to be. Romans 4, 20 and 21 says this, "But Abraham never doubted. He believed God for his faith, and trust grew even stronger. And he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. He was completely sure that God was well able to do anything he promised." See, he rejoiced in anticipation. See, when you thank God before it happens, that's called faith. When you thank God after it's happened, that's called gratitude. And there's place for both of them. It's not one or the other, it's both. But before God answers, we rejoice in Him and in His promises. And that's a step of faith on our part. Remember our memory verse from this week. With God, everything is possible. With God, everything is possible. If you look in your study guides, you're going to find that there three kinds of deliverance that are listed there. And I just want to give them to you real fast so you could fill them in as we're running short on time. And the first is circumstantial deliverance. Look what's written in your book. God miraculously changes your situation. This is something like a physical healing, a financial breakthrough. Something happens that is totally miraculous. That's your circumstantial deliverance. The second is personal deliverance. Look what your book says again. God doesn't change the circumstance. He changes you. Isn't that? Sometimes God does personal before He does circumstantial. But see, God's concerned about our hearts. God's concerned about our character. God wants to make us more like Jesus as we get towards eternity. That's the whole goal of our walk in faith and our walk with Christ, is to become more and more like Jesus. And that's your personal deliverance. You get a new perspective on your situation. You receive new grace to handle it. And the third was the ultimate deliverance. The ultimate deliverance is sometimes a little harder to deal with. God doesn't take away our situation. God doesn't bring a miraculous miracle to us. God doesn't take away any of the delay or the difficulty or even the dead end. But God promises that He will give you the strength to handle it, that He will provide a way for you through it. And then the ultimate deliverance is for every believer. Every believer. The ultimate deliverance is that we would end up where Romans 5:2 describes. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We boast in the hope of the glory of God. That hope is heaven. So the ultimate deliverance is our eternal reward with God in heaven forever. So how do we get to heaven? How do you get to heaven? Well, listen to what Jesus said in John 14:6. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus made it very clear. If we want to go to heaven, the only way we can do that is through Jesus Christ. Do you want to go to heaven for eternity? You can only get there if you believe in Jesus Christ. You see, we need a Savior. You need a Savior. And the only Savior there is Jesus. And Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. If you want to get to God, you have to come through me." Jesus is the bridge from our life to God's life. And so if you're watching today and you've been listening today or throughout this whole series or on and off for a while, and you're saying, that's what I want. I want to know that I will go to heaven. I want to know God. The only way you could do it is through Jesus Christ. You need to accept that Jesus is who he said he is. He came to earth and he lived a sinless life. He is the Son of God. And then you need to believe everything he said and taught and believe that he died for you, that he died on the cross for your sins to be forgiven. And then you need to confess him as your personal Lord and Savior. Confess just means, Jesus, I believe you. I accept you. And if you do that, even right now, one time, you just say, Jesus, I accept you in my life. Forgive me of my sin. Now you are on the road to relationship to God, with God through Jesus Christ. And we want to help you in this newfound relationship with God. And would you do us a favor? Would you pick up your phone and just text us the word love to 416-267-1189? Please follow the prompts and ask for your name in a way we can contact you. Please do that and we will reach back out to you because we want to help you walk in this journey with God. We also have an Alpha course on Monday nights at 7:13, virtually online. And those are that course is a great place for you to learn about Jesus, learn about God, learn about faith and Christianity. And even if you're not there yet, but you want to check out who Jesus is, join us in the Alpha course. Text us the word Alpha and your name and the same number, and we'll get back in touch with you as well, all right? Just before I let you go, we're not quite done yet, but you've been listening to me today. We've been talking about what it is to hang on when God seems to be so long. That maybe you're listening today, you're watching, you're saying, I'm in that dead end. Are you at a dead end in your life right now? Are you at a place where the delay and the difficulty just seem impossible and you're at a dead end and nothing seems to be going right? Where you've been believing in faith, but it feels like God's not listening and God's not answering. I encourage you today that this is the time to give it to Jesus, to give it to God. Say to God, here is my dead end. I'm in that never place, God. I'm in that place where I don't know if I can go another day. I don't know if I can continue on this journey. I'm not sure if I have any faith, let alone daring faith. You're in this place of dead end and it seems to be sucking the energy out of you. But I encourage you to do what Abraham did. Hope in the place of hopelessness. Believe in the place of faithlessness. Sometimes all we need to do is hold on a little bit longer. Just wait a little bit longer. Trust God with what's coming down the road. Remember, with God, everything is possible. I'm going to pray for you in a moment. But before I do, I want to tell you this. Although this is the end of the teaching, this is not the end of your daring faith. In fact, this is just the beginning. From here on out, you can move forward in daring faith. You have the rest of your life to live out in daring faith. But to those of you who feel like you're at a dead end and there's nowhere to go, I want to pray for you right now. Would you just take your need and lift it to God as I pray for you? Father, I pray today right now for all those who feeling right now that they're in a dead end, that they're in a place where they just don't know how to move forward. They don't know if they can trust another day, another moment. Father, I ask today that you would restore hope to their situations, that you would restore hope to their lives, that you would restore a renewed sense of faith, that you would give them a daring faith to trust you, your word, and your promises. Father, lift them up from the place of discouragement and help them to find life in you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I want to remind you one last time, with God, everything is possible. Well, thank you for joining us today at Highway Online. I trust that you've enjoyed the Daring Faith campaign series. And stick with us as we continue to move forward in the weeks to come with some other series, and Christmas is just around the corner. I want to remind you that Highway is a place to belong. And so if you have no church home, Highway is a place for you to belong. If you live locally to us in the Scarborough, Toronto area, we invite you to join with us, if you can, in person Sunday mornings at 10:30. You can find us at highwaygospel.ca. Everything you'll need to know is there for us, and we encourage you. But keeping with the pandemic protocols from the City of Toronto, you do need to reserve a seat. So you can just go to our website and click the button that says reserve a seat. It's really simple. Your name, your email address, and you're in. And then we would see you here on site. And if you can't make it on site, you can join us here again next Sunday morning at 10:30. But we're so grateful that you've been with us. And I encourage you as you move forward to continue to live in daring faith. God bless you. Have a great week.